Hello everybody, this is Robert Sigliano of the new Pilot Pod Blog, and welcome to Episode 9, Colleen's first flight in the Piper Sport, and my 4 big mistakes.
Automated weather observation 1843 Zulu. Wind 150 at 06. Visibility 10. Sky condition clear. Temperature 22 Celsius. Dew point 06 Celsius. Altimeter 2985. Remarks. Density altitude 1000.
I had been trying to take Colleen, my 16-year-old daughter, up flying for a long time, but our schedules did not match up. You know how the schedules of a 16-year-old girl is. Very busy. So on May 1st, I finally was able to take Colleen up in the Sport Cruiser, also known as the Piper Sport. This is the first time she has been up with me since I got my private pilot's license. The goals of this flight were simple. First, to take my daughter up and introduce her to the joy of flight. The second was finally to take the Piper Sport out of the pattern and see how it handles. Third was to try my hand at in-cockpit audio. I was planning to get flight following and thought that it would be good to capture. I know from reading the forums, there are a lot of questions on how to get flight following, and there is some anxiety out there thinking that it is hard. So I hope to show with my in-cockpit recording that this is not the case. I hope it helps, and you learn something from it. You will hear a lot of radio chatter in the background. Most of it is coming from skydiving operations. On Long Island, there are 2 skydiving outfits. One is out of Calverton Executive Airport, 3 Charlie 8, and the other is out of Spadaro, 1 November 2. You'll hear the jump planes talking to the approach, letting them know when the jump is going to take place and where they are. The plan for this flight was to fly east along the south shore of Long Island to Montauk Point, circle the lighthouse, and fly back to Brookhaven. We arrived at the airport around 2 p.m. After a quick chat with Amanda, we walked out to the plane for the pre-flight. It was an absolutely beautiful day. The temperature was in the mid-70s, winds out of the southwest around 8 knots, and clear blue skies. After getting a top off and completing the pre-flight, I had Colleen climb in. She actually did pretty well, considering she was wearing platform shoes. Colleen is always in style. I gave Colleen my standard briefing on how to open up the canopy and buckle her seatbelt. I also gave her a sick sack and told her to have it just in case. The one other time that Colleen flew with me was while I was training, and I took her and my nephew, Michael, along with my instructor, on the city tour. The flight through what is now called the New York Special Flight Rules Area up the Hudson River. After an hour, she felt a little nauseous, so I wanted her to have the sick sack. I went through the startup checklist and then set a direct 2 route on the GPS to Montauk Point. After getting a radio check and advisory from Unicom and going over the taxi diagram with Colleen, we started our taxi.
Brookhaven's advising 15 left traffic.
15 left traffic, thank you very much. Alright, so we go to 15. We're here, and we have to go straight across. Can you just hold that? So we're here, Colleen. Here's 15. So we have to go out and to the left.
Okay.
We taxied to runway 15. It was a sunny day and the cockpit started getting hot. The one issue with the bubble canopy is that if it's sunny outside, it is very hot inside. You don't get much airflow through the vents while taxiing. The canopy shade helped a little, but it was still hot. We stopped at the run-up area, and I was using a new checklist for the first time and completed the run-up. We taxied to the whole short line, waited for a 172 to get far enough upwind, and then took the runway. Made my radio call and took off. I was very cognizant of making the takeoff smooth for Colleen. Strange. I held the center line better than usual. As with all LSAs that I have flown, you need a lot of right rudder with a Piper Sport. But today, the left turning tendency was not as strong. I took off, but the plane did not jump off as quickly as it normally does. In fact, it almost settled back down. Once I got it flying, the pitch attitude was much higher than normal. I didn't know what the problem was. At 300 feet, I normally raise the flaps and turn off the fuel pump. So I reached down to raise the flaps, and they were already up, and the fuel pump was off. Then I realized it. I forgot the before takeoff checklist. This rattled me a little bit. I have never done that before. I don't know if it was the new checklist, but I am a creature of habit, and the situation was different because of the new checklist, and Colleen was with me. I now know one thing, is that this will never happen again. Lesson one learned. At 1,600 feet, which is 500 feet above TPA, we turned south and headed to the south shore. Once we crossed the shore, we headed east. The plan was to fly to Montauk Point, circle the lighthouse, and then head back. I wanted it to be comfortable and enjoyable flight so that Colleen would enjoy it and will want to fly with me again. So we leveled off at 3,000, trimmed the plane, and I called New York Approach for flight following.
So Colleen, just keep an eye out for other planes. All right.
Yes, German's clear. 1-5 for Haven.
All right, you got to speak louder.
Okay.
Right. New York Approach, this is Sport Cruiser 297 Sierra Charlie.
Number 297 Sierra Charlie.
Yes, I'd like to request flight following on a sightseeing cruise along the South Shore towards the east. I'm currently at 2,500, going up to 3,000, and I'm 6 miles to the southeast of Brookhaven.
Okay, if you're headed that way, contact New York Approach 125.907. They can help you out.
125.907. Thank you.
Good afternoon, New York Approach, Seneca 3.
All right, so what I just did, Colleen, is now I'm on somebody's radar. So they will tell me if there's other planes around.
Oh, okay.
I got to tell you, the Piper Sport is very stable. Once trimmed, it was hands-off flying. One thing I did notice, though, is that I needed to keep adjusting the throttle. In fact, a couple of times, the throttle sprang forward, and I had to pull it back to the cruise RPM. The Piper Sport has a friction lock, which you need to squeeze when moving the throttle. It seemed that it was not keeping the throttle from moving. I mentioned this to Mike when I got back, and he said that some pilots do not squeeze the friction lock, and it wears out. He said he would fix it. As I did with Joey, I had Colleen hold the chart, and I pointed out landmarks. I pointed out Calverton Airport, where I went skydiving. I also pointed out the Hamptons, a couple of distinctive lakes, Gabreski Airport, and the Montauk Point Lighthouse in the distance. She was really enjoying the flight, and got a kick out of seeing all the farms and beaches. She was having a pretty good time.
Jump flight 79 Bravo, drop and jump at 1 minute 10,000.
Number 79 Bravo, roger. 10,000, aircraft passenger jumping over to Sedaria Airport from 10,000.
Radio jump 2 is 1 minute prior to 5,000.
Number 2, roger. 10,000, aircraft passenger jumping over to Calverton VOR in 1 minute from 5,000.
Did you hear that? It said jumping over Calverton?
What?
Did you hear what they just said on the radio? That jumping over Calverton?
Yeah.
That's where we go skydiving.
Oh, okay.
See how the water is
north
like
north
a little bit late?
What?
See, this is where we are. We're like right here.
Oh, okay.
So we're near the Hamptons.
Oh, that was fast.
Yeah. The difficulties of the water, the sand.
Summer 6079 Bravo, radar service 78 spot VFR, finish the intro, take care.
79 Bravo, thank you.
Is that a lake?
In here? It's like an inlet. You can see where the water comes in from the ocean.
Yeah.
It goes in. So that's like, these are like the inlets. So we're looking on the map. That's like right here.
Okay.
Where it's going, East Quote. This is Southampton coming up.
That's
the one. That little lake right there. It looks like a little lake.
Yeah.
That's Southampton.
The
gun plane going to tell you about all the farms.
What?
Did I tell you about all the farms?
Oh, yeah.
If you look where we are, if you look far ahead,
one identity.
You see where it's getting thinner?
161.
Yeah.
There you go. Sorry about that. So
where Montauk is.
Oh, yeah.
So once we got past the Hamptons, we were told to switch to Providence Approach. I believe this is the boundary from New York Center to Boston Center, where Providence Approach is part of. Since I was planning to turn around soon, I decided not to call Providence.
Number 297, Sierra Charlie, Mayor Smith, for the East.
I think we'll actually make it to Montauk.
FR frequency improved.
What?
I think we'll actually make it to Montauk.
Oh, cool.
It's right up ahead.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
Number 297, Sierra Charlie, New York.
297, Sierra Charlie, sorry.
Radar service 78 squat, VFR frequency improved. You can try Providence on 119.45.
119.45, thank you very much.
Alex 584, contact Boston Center 135.8.
Indicated airspeed was between 110 and 115 knots, with a ground speed of 120 to 125. I kept watching the engine instruments, and everything was in the green. Fuel burn was normal, In fact, the 1.5 hour flight burned around 4 gallons. As we were flying along, I turned nonchalantly to Colleen and asked her, "Where should we land if the engine quit?" Her face dropped. I quickly said that it was just a precaution and that you should always have an emergency landing site in mind.
All right, if we were to lose an engine...
What?
If we were to lose the engine right now...
Stop, don't even say that.
Where would we land?
The water.
No.
On the beach.
Look out there. Where do you think? Look at the... What piece of land do you think is straight enough or flat enough?
That little sandbar thing.
Okay. Sand would be good, a little dark area over there. We don't want to land in the trees, right? But people, some people believe landing in the trees is better than landing in water.
Really?
Right, because if you come in and you can land on top of the trees.
Oh, okay,
right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we have to because we have wheels that don't come up. If I land in the water and the wheels catch the water, so you'll
6 5 7 3 0
you can flip.
Oh, yeah.
I spoke on a 2-9-8-4.
2-9-4-7-0.
So you should always do when you're flying is always looking outside and say to yourself, if I lose my engine, where will I land? Always have that out.
12 o'clock and 5 miles.
A parking lot is good, a long parking lot, the beach is good, the runway is better.
As we got closer to Montauk Point, I pointed out to Colleen the lighthouse in the distance. And as we passed Montauk Bay, I pointed out the Montauk Yacht Club.
All right, can you see the lighthouse from here? The little, right at the tip, the two little white bumps. That's the lighthouse. So that's Montauk Bay.
Huh?
You look to the north, do you see all the boats are, the marinas?
Yeah.
That's where we stayed. And that's the yacht club.
When I was about 6 miles from the lighthouse, I turned north so that Colleen could see it out of her window. I then did a lazy steep turn to the right so that she could get a good view of the lighthouse. She thought it was so cool.
The lighthouse?
Oh.
I'm going to go out and I'll turn so this way you can see it, all right?
Jolly 1-1, three jumpers away.
Down.
Oh, yeah, I see it. That's so cool. I didn't realize that it was really, like, literally, like, at the point.
Right.
After seeing the lighthouse, we headed directly into the sun. I looked below and saw two planes flying low to the ground, which got me thinking. The sun and the haze was making it hard to see, so I decided to dial up Providence for flight following. I knew that I would be handed off quickly once I got to the Hamptons, but I felt that I needed another set of eyes to help me look for planes. I picked up Providence with no problem and was given a squawk code.
Providence approach, November 297 Sierra Charlie.
297 Sierra Charlie, Providence approach.
Yes, I'm over at Montauk. I'm at 3,000 feet. I'm heading east. I'm heading west back to Brookhaven. We'll touch on advisories, please.
What type of aircraft are you, sir?
I'm a sport cruiser, light sport aircraft.
Okay, I don't know the identifier. Give me a four-letter identifier for that one.
It's, what is it? I think it's just cruise.
Roger. 7 Sierra Charlie, 0354, ident.
Say again, what was
you? Okay, 7 Sierra Charlie Squawk is 0354, please. 0354.
0354.
Harvest approach, this is Columbia 714 Bravo Romeo, radio check.
4 Bravo Romeo, you're loud and clear, sir. November 7 Sierra Charlie, radar contact.
We were flying along, looking at the sights, and I looked over at Colleen, and she didn't look so good. So I asked her if she was okay. She said that she felt a little nauseous. I asked if she needed the sick sack, and she said no. I asked if she needed water, and she said she was fine. I told her that we should be on the ground in about 15 minutes. So now I felt the need to get back quickly. Mistake number two.
Another 15 miles and we're home.
What?
Another 15 miles and we're home. You okay?
Yeah, just a little nauseous.
You want water? Maybe that'll help.
No, I'm fine.
Here's the bag.
The 10-knot tailwind I enjoyed going east turned into a 10-knot headwind going west. Indicated airspeed was still around 110, but ground speed was below 100. My thoughts were consumed with getting her on the ground. There was nothing I could do to make the wind disappear, the plane go faster, or move the airport closer. I just needed to concentrate on flying. As predicted, I was handed off to New York approach at the Hamptons.
Sierra Charlie, radar service terminated. Squawk 12 Flutter Freaks exchange approved. Suggest New York on 125.97. We'll see you.
Thank you very much. 297 Sierra Charlie. New York approach 297 Sierra Charlie.
Piedmont 4507, proceed direct New Haven.
Direct New Haven, thanks. Piedmont 4507.
Echo Approach 297, Sierra Charlie.
Stand by. And who was calling the Echo Approach?
297, Sierra Charlie.
Number 297, Sierra Charlie, go ahead.
Yes, I'm about 10 miles west of Montauk on the way back to Brookhaven because of flight foul.
Number 297, Sierra Charlie, score 4344, identify.
4344.
Fremont 4507, contact Echo Approach 124.07.
07, Piedmont 4507. Good day.
Air Force Cherokee 4317 Tango.
Say again?
Cherokee 4317 Tango, request flight following.
Cherokee 4317 Tango, near approach, go ahead.
Enbridge Bridgeport just over the Connecticut River, 4500.
Cherokee 4317 Tango, score 4345, I then.
4345, I then, 17 Tango.
Air approach, here's November 726, Bravo Charlie.
Stand by. Number 297 Sierra Charlie, I then.
Identic.
Number 7, Sierra Charlie Radar, contact 3 miles south of Hampton Airport. ISO Baltimore 2983.
2983, thank you. Southampton Airport, right there.
What?
That's the Southampton Airport.
Oh.
The flight back was slow, but smooth, and the throttle kept moving on me. Other than that, there were no issues. On the way back, at the lighthouse, I set a direct 2 course to Brookhaven so that I would know the distance to the airport and could use the magenta line to help find it. I wasn't following the course, I just used it as a reference. I have a graph that shows when I need to start my descent, and it's set to start around 6 miles out. I was a little bit further out than that. I looked up and saw the bridge south of the airport. The magenta line told me to look northwest, and I saw the field. At this point, I was talking to Colleen, and didn't realize that approach was talking to me. They told me that radar services was canceled, and to squawk VFR. I didn't hear that, so I contacted Approach, told them I had the airport in sight, and the controller terminated radar service. I picked up the ATIS, and I made my first radio call.
Number 297,
that's
Sierra Charlie,
right
you may to the west radar service. Terminated squawk VFR, please can improve the use caution going on to Brookhaven.
Vehicle Approach 297, Sierra Charlie has the airport in sight.
Number 7, Sierra Charlie, roger. Radar service terminated squawk VFR, please can improve use caution going into Brookhaven.
Thank you very much.
Haven Airport, Shirley, New York. Automated weather observation 1948 Zulu. Wind 190 at 07. Visibility 10. Sky condition clear. Temperature 23 Celsius. Dew point 07 Celsius. Altimeter 2984. Remarks.
Brookhaven traffic. Sport Cruiser is 7.5 to the south. Moving in for left downwind for 15. Brookhaven.
I have a diagram that I have laminated that shows me how to set up the approach to each of the runways. For runway 15, I need to go to Sunrise Highway southeast of the field and then maneuver for the 45. Since I was already southeast of the field, all I had to do was turn north. I made my next call on the 45, then again on downwind. My speed and RPM settings were good. Indicated airspeed was at 85, RPMs at 4200, and I was holding traffic pattern altitude, 1100. Everything looked great. In the back of my mind, I kept thinking that I needed to get Colleen on the ground. A beam midfield, I started to pull back the power slowly while holding altitude to bleed off airspeed. Once in flap operating range, I put in 15 degrees. A beam of the numbers, I pulled out all the power and pitched for 65 and started my descent. I made a short turn to final and everything looked good. I was on speed. The last time I flew the Piper Sport, I realized that I needed to keep the downwind short. It turned onto final a little quicker than I did in the Eaglet. I believe the wide wings of the Piper Sport seem to create a lot of drag and the plane slows down quickly, so I did the same on this flight. Mistake number 3. On short final, I put in all of the flaps. The plane was high and my speed was way too fast. Instead of being at 60, it was around 70 to 75. I could not get down, and I could not slow down, so I decided to go around. While on upwind, Colleen asked me what I was doing, and I explained to her that I was not happy with the approach, so I decided to try again.
Okay, Cal?
Yes.
That's a little bumpy sometimes down here. Okay, the traffic sport cruiser going around.
No touch and goes.
That wasn't intentional. Okay?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Doing.
What?
What are you doing?
I didn't think I could land on correctly, so I decided to try it again.
She seemed to be okay with that. So I went around one more time and set it up all over again. Again, I turned final like I did before. Everything was good, but again on short final, I seemed to pick up speed. Unlike before, I decided to land. Mistake number 4. This mistake was a big one. Since I was carrying too much speed, around 70 knots, I floated for what seemed like the whole runway. I landed way too fast and bounced. I believe I bounced 2 times. Maybe 3. And I finally landed. I was able to slow down the plane, and I got off the runway. I was shaken up a little bit. I normally have a short landing and get off at the first taxiway. This time, it took me to the last taxiway. This was by far my worst landing in a long time.
Okay? That was the worst landing I've ever had in the plane, Colleen. Worst landing.
Yeah?
Brookhaven traffic, smoke crew off the active. 1-5, Brookhaven.
I turned to Colleen and asked her if she was okay, and she said she was. She did not seem fazed by my terrible landing. Once I got across the whole short line and cleaned up the plane, I opened up the canopy to get some air in. The plane was hot, and again, we would not get much airflow through the vents while taxiing. Back at the FBO, I asked Colleen if she would fly with me again. She said that she didn't think so. My heart sank. She said that she was still feeling nauseous and that she couldn't think about flying again at the moment. I can live with that. As long as I didn't scare her, I know there's a good chance she would fly with me again.
Have you ever dreamed of taking to the skies in your very own airplane? You can get your chance and support a great aviation organization at the same time. The 1940 Air Terminal Museum at Hobby Airport in Houston, Texas is selling raffle tickets to give away a vintage Cessna. For more information, visit www.1940airterminal.org.
Stuart Stevenson, Pilot Stew of the Pilot's Journey podcast here, and you're listening to the New Pilot Pod Blog. Also, be sure to check out the Aviation Podcast Network at aviationpodcasts.net.
Overall, the flight was a good one. I was able to share my passion with my daughter, and up until she felt nauseous, and even afterwards, she was enjoying herself. And I didn't scare her. At least she says that. So my goals were met. I took my daughter up for a flight, and I took the Piper Sport out of the pattern. I learned that it is a very stable airplane, and that once you get it trimmed properly, it's hands-off flying, as long as the friction lock works. This is something that maybe Piper should look at changing. As Mike says, most pilots do not squeeze the lock, which wears it out. I also learned that I really need to concentrate and make sure I do not forget a checklist. I also learned that if the approach is not stable, go around. I went around on the first try, but not on the second. Colleen surely could have handled another turn around the patch. There's never a reason to force a plane down, and I was lucky that I did not bounce it off the runway. The Piper Sport is a tough little airplane. Another thing I learned is that I really enjoy being in the system and talking to the controllers. It is a comfort knowing that there is another pair of eyes looking for aircraft with you. I also learned that I need a little work to sound more professional on the radio. I heard some real pros out there talking to approach. By having flight following, I now know that flying around Eastern Long Island to expect to be handed off to Providence Approach. Now I know to expect it, where to expect it, and what the frequency is. So I'll have it in the standby frequency next time I fly out east. The more I do this, the better I will be. Flight following is easy, and I've never had problem on handoffs, even in the busy New York airspace. So there's really no excuse not to get it. As with all flights, this one was a learning experience. For my next flight, I am planning to practice landings. I really want to get good at landing the Piper Sport. I plan on flying this plane for a long time, and I'm really having fun with it.
G'day folks, I'm Steve Vischer.
And I'm Grant McCarran.
And we're from the Plane Crazy Down Under podcast here in sunny Melbourne, Australia.
That's right folks, we're coming to you from the bottom of the world. We're down here giving you all sorts of fun reviews on aviation in Australia. We've got opinionated news reviews, interviews with really cool pilots. We've got discussions with all sorts of people from journalists, air traffic controllers and aviation analysts.
So if you're into aviation on any level, check us out in iTunes or visit our website at www.planecrazydownunder.com and remember,
it's what's down under that counts.
Okay, now for the shout outs. My first shout out goes to P.J. Gustafson. P.J. is with the 1940 Air Terminal Museum in Houston, Texas. And each year they give away a vintage Cessna aircraft in a raffle to raise money for the operation and restoration of the museum building. And they give away a plane on the third Saturday of each year. You can find out more information on the museum and the raffle by visiting his website at www.1940airterminal.org. And of course I'll have this in my show notes. You can also go on Facebook by searching for the 1940 Air Terminal Museum or follow him on Twitter at 1940ATM. And the raffle plane itself has its own Twitter account at November9379Bravo. This is a great cause and it's a great way to support a museum, an aviation museum, and potentially win a beautiful vintage Cessna. So please visit the website and please support this cause. The next shout-out goes out to the Jones Beach Air Show, Jones Beach in Wantagh, Long Island. Every Memorial Day, there's an air show over Jones Beach. It's a wonderful air show. Me and my wife have been going for the last 6 years or so. And this year, the lineup is great. The Blue Angels will be there. The Golden Knights from the Army, the paratroopers are always there. Emory Riddle has a plane. And, of course, Sean D. Tucker is there as well. If anybody's on Long Island on the Memorial Day weekend, this podcast will probably be going out during the weekend, so maybe a little bit too late, but if it gets out in time and you're listening to it in time and you're on Long Island, go to the air show. It's a wonderful experience. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to my buddy Joe Rogeski, a new private pilot. He received his certificate a couple of weeks ago, and I'm looking forward to sharing a lot of adventures with Joe. Great guy, great pilot. Congratulations, Joe. I would also like to give a shout-out to Piper Aircraft, for giving us the Piper Sport, this wonderful airplane that has become my personal airplane of choice. I'd also like to give personal shout-outs to Mark Miller, Chief Corporate Spokesperson for Piper, and Bart Jones, Chief Pilot of Piper Aircraft, for joining me on the podcast. They were good enough to spend time with me to be interviewed about the Piper Sport, and that will be in our next episode, so please tune in. Should be a great episode. And my final shout-out goes out to our military on this Memorial Day weekend. Of course, without our soldiers, airmen, and support staff in the military, we would not have our freedom to fly and the freedom to live our lives the way that we want to. So thank you very much. Appreciate all that you've done for us. And our prayers and good wishes go with you this Memorial Day weekend. Well, that's it for now. Thanks for joining me, and blue skies, everyone. You can get this podcast at iTunes, your favorite podcatcher, or go to thenewpilotpodblog.blogspot.com. You can reach me at thenewpilotpodblog@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/newpilotpodblog. The intro and closing song is John Mellencamp's My Aeroplane. Thank you everyone for listening, so now get out there and exercise your freedom to fly.